The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
A new year, a new season, new episodes of, man, I mean, look, the public was demanding that we do this again.
Demanding? I'm
Kevin
serious.
Was literally getting death threats.
I don't understand.
Like, the training camp started, preseason started, and we have a system to this. Like, we're radio professionals, and we're sports professionals.
That's right.
And we love
right.
our teams, and we know what we're doing. So we don't need training camp.
No, full preseason to do what we do. Yeah, we already take reps.
So we knew what was going on.
Yeah,
but then
right.
the public started harassing
people
Kevin.
People get mad, you know. It's not my fault that you go look on the website, federalnewsradio.com, Federal Football Report, and click on it. And the last show was like in February.
Exactly.
That's when the football
That's
season
the last
started.
Time a meaningful football game was played.
If it was for the Burgundy and Gold, they could have been playing up and through March, right? But no.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
But this is a new year, new season. I am more hopeful this season than I've been in a long, long time.
Anyone who listens to this show know that right. Kevin being hopeful is different. I mean, because normally that's not the case.
This is very different, man. Very different. We got a lot. There's a lot to catch up on, man. A lot.
We're going to do that right now. So, again, it's the Federal Football Report on 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. The day after every Redskins game this season, you can catch analysis like no other station's going. We're not going to just read down box scores for you.
No.
And we're not
going
to talk down to you like you don't know what you're talking about because you didn't play professional football. And we're not going to talk down to you just because we're in a radio studio and you're not. We're people of the people. And that's what we do. And that's why this show is loved by so many. A couple of things that are the same. Number one, Kevin's the same. He's back on the show. I'm back on the show. That's the same. Thank you so much to WFED and Hubbard Broadcasting, Lisa Wolf, and also Joe Oxley for allowing us to grace the airwaves with this fine football show.
Absolutely.
Also, back by popular demand, we will have fake news or not.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, because number one, the sitting president is still in office. Although last year when we ended, we weren't sure whether that was the case.
we didn't know who was going to be around.
But he's still in office.
We didn't know if any of us was still going to be here.
Exactly.
Right?
So he's still in office. And so the fake news or not segment, big hit, and it's still good for this upcoming season. But something new that's coming up to the show is our NFC East Roundtable.
Yes.
We're going
yes.
to do a segment where we have a Cowboys fan, a Giants fan. Everyone remember Rodney. And so we gave the Giants so much love the first 2 years with Rodney on the program. And so now we got to do an NFC East Roundtable.
Yeah, we insist. That's
and
a
so
given.
So we've got
yeah,
Rodney
yeah.
Anderson is going to be our Giants correspondent. We've got Claude Jennings, relation, by the way, to Claude Jennings, me. That's my brother. He's going to give us Cowboy insight. And I believe we have a Philadelphia. So it's been hard to find a Philadelphia.
It was kind of hard. The Philly market. Fan that we had in mind today, he's actually in Vegas, right?
Oh, okay.
So he'd either be too happy to be on the air today or too depressed. Either way, we decided maybe it wasn't a good move right now. But as the season starts, he'll be ready to go. I mean, some good insight on the Philadelphia Eagles, who just happened to be the world champions right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and see, that's the thing. Like, number one, it was hard to find an Eagles fan, which is interesting because we found plenty of Giants fans, Cowboys fans you can bring on the show. But the Eagles fans, number one, it's hard to find one that you could just stomach for 20 minutes. I mean, just honestly, like, it's hard to be around Eagles fans for 20 minutes.
You think they're still in, like, disbelief, right?
You know? They still act like they never won anything.
They hadn't. Remember they were greasing the light poles and people wouldn't clap them? Well, it's a good thing the Eagles fans are not here because we would embarrass them right
there.
Give them credit. We'll talk about doing the roundtable. They did. They went out and did.
There's no way in the world when Brady gets that ball back with 2.5 minutes left on the clock that you don't think Brady's going to do it again.
Yeah. Well, Eagles have something for him. But we haven't. I'll go through the archives. We said before the playoffs started that Nick Foles was a quality NFL quarterback.
Absolutely.
And because people had just said once Carson Wentz went down that it was all over with, right? But we said, we have to go back and prove it to people.
And I forget, but I mean, during his first stint in Philadelphia, Nick Foles lit it up. I can't remember how many games it was without an interception, but it was like 16 or 17, right?
He barely, as a rookie, that was before the guy came in who destroyed the Eagles. What was the coach's name? The guy came in.
Oh, Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly. But as a rookie, he almost beat the Burgundy Gold a couple of times, but under Kelly, he went like, had like, 22 touchdowns and three picks or something like that.
Had a
ridiculous streak. But we'll get back to that during the roundtable.
Yeah, we'll talk more about
there's so much
later.
Burgundy and gold
there's
to talk
so
about.
Much burgundy
Where
and
do
gold.
You start, man?
And well, see, here's the thing. And so I understand one end why folks were sending you death threats. Not because, I mean, you're a likable guy,
but there
was so much happening and they wanted, you know, real analysis on it. And so let's just start at the quarterback position.
Right.
Because it seems like every year, maybe except for last year, going into the season, there were some changes, some things we thought should be changed, just something going on with the quarterback position, and that's exactly what happened this year. And so we've Captain Kirk is now in Minnesota.
That's right.
Like that? And so that's where he is.
Yeah, I like that.
Right. And now you've got Alex Smith. And so the big question all offseason is Alex Smith a big upgrade over Kirk Cousins?
Well, I have, you know, my sources, you know, we have sources up close and personal to the situation. They jumped in it right away and said that without a doubt, there's an upgrade at the quarterback position.
Okay.
Talent and leadership, which is kind of strange to me because Kurt was efficient. He seemed like he ran Jay Gruden's offense to a T. Matter of fact, Jay ran the last guy out of town and pretty much gave Kurt the job. There was no open competition.
Right.
Colt McCoy, I'm sure, would have wanted to compete for the job, but he was given the job.
That's right.
And I think that was the biggest problem because he was pretty much given the job. I think the organization expected some loyalty from Kirk. Like, okay, you all gave me this job. I'm going to work with you. You can do this contract.
Well, so Kirk said no. I'm not sure how much they tried to actually work with him because they franchised him, you know, twice. Because I feel, look, if before he became a free agent, if they actually just gave him a 4-year deal worth about $40 million, that would have ended up paying him less than they paid him two years in a row franchising him.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And you wouldn't have had any longer commitment than you would have basically passed this year.
I'm sorry. It's hard for me to break out the violin for the dude making $21 million, right? You know, and hasn't won nothing.
No, you're right.
Hard for me. But so I think I'm quite hopeful. Alex Smith, first overall number one pick. Mm-hmm. That the team has ever had, I believe. And, you know, he's had, by the way,
like many number one picks overall who are quarterbacks who go to horrible teams, I feel like Alex Smith was always a good quarterback, just placed in bad situations.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't take a guy right out of college and you put him on a horrible team with no offensive line and expect him to produce. It just doesn't work like that. I mean, you get that kind of situation, and every blue moon you get a situation where there's a Dak Prescott who didn't necessarily walk into a bad situation, probably the best offensive line in football at the time. But you look at guys like Andrew Luck. I mean, you know, he's been out a year and a half, and no one knows what's wrong with his shoulder, you know, because you can't put these guys fresh out of college behind. Now, Andrew Luck did, by the way, go to an AFC championship game. But that kind of stuff happens once every blue moon.
Yeah. But the guy is supposed to be that good that the team.
Look at David Carr. I felt David Carr coming out of college was great. But yeah, you go to, what was he, went to the Raiders, I think?
Texans. The Texans, yeah.
David Carr went to the Texans. And
what car is out there now?
Derek Carr.
Another car. Okay,
exactly.
All right. They drive a different car.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
You're right. They put a lot of pressure on these guys. And there's two philosophies. One is you got to put the guy down and let him learn and let him do like you did Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Rodgers. I'm sure was able to play, but Brett Favre was not going to let him see the field, right?
Brett Favre wasn't even going to try to help him see the field. And made it clear. Like, I'm not here to help this guy. I'm here to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Same way with Garoppolo and Brady in Minnesota, right? Yep. There's that philosophy, right? Yep. You know, but then again, that builds something in the guy who's the backup. Or they say you got to sell some tickets, so you throw the guy out there right away. And I never hardly see that working. I see, what was the guy's name? It used to be with the Jaguars, ended his career with the Titans.
At quarterback?
Yeah. The guy they remember played the Marshall, they had to carry him.
Oh, Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, Leftwich.
I love Byron Leftwich.
Yeah, he said that they were talking to him about bringing a guy in and letting him learn. And he said, no, the only way I'm going to learn is the guy here get on the field. So it depends on the makeup of the guy. So Alex Smith, he's paid his dues, right?
Absolutely.
And then when Harbaugh got there
in the league, as a matter of fact, well, we'll talk about this when we get to Adrian Peterson. So I'll wait till we get there. But go ahead.
So I was going to say he paid his dues, survived whatever regime, survived the Mike Singletary regime and all that, ended up with Harbaugh and was on a dominant team. And toward the end of the year, Harbaugh decided he wanted to go with a gut move and make a quarterback change to go with Kaepernick, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a key play in the NFC Championship, I believe it was, when Kaepernick got nicked and Alex Smith came in and ran a read option of all things and ran for like 40 yards, right? So where did that come from, right? Uh-huh, So I'm very excited about the move at quarterback. I guess there's two things. There's not the question mark, is the guy looking at his wallet or, is he trying to pad his stats to maximize his financial situation? Mm-hmm. And two, do we have an experienced guy, a guy who really, really, really wants to win? And I think we got both here. I think we're in great shape.
And a guy who probably had a big chip on his shoulder.
Most
of his career, actually, I think, coming out of college. I mean, because once you get labeled a bust after your second year in the league, I think it's hard to rebound from that. I mean, how many guys were labeled a bust early in their career from? You could take a look at whether it's Johnny Manziel, who still can't seem to get himself together, even in Canadian Football League. Yeah. Jamarcus Russell. I mean, there's so many. You can go back to Achilles Smith, where so early in their career they're labeled a bust when maybe all they needed was a little bit of time.
Just a little bit.
To develop. Time to get used to the – and probably would have helped if they weren't on stupid sorry
team. That definitely would have helped. But unfortunately, the way the thing is structured, the best talent goes to the sorriest teams. And it seems like in this age of parity, it would be a little bit different, but it's just not working out the way it's supposed to, especially from the quarterback position. But this year, it's a little bit different because we had some quarterbacks drafted high, but they seem to have realized that this thing about the new NFL, the passing league now, it's all, as they used to say, garbage, right? You got to run the football, and teams have seen that they've made some moves in that area, especially in the NFC East, to turn this back into NFL football.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you talked about running the football. Let's sit here and talk a little bit about the new running back. And I'm not talking about Geis, who the Skins drafted from LSU. He gets hurt in the first preseason game, and then next thing you know, where are you going to turn? Oh, Adrian Peterson's out there.
Peterson... There was a void, right? Because there were still running backs on this team.
But no one that anyone trusted. Like, when did Rob Kelly fall out of grace with the coaching staff?
It's not
I'm trying to, because before, all they were talking about, Fat Rob. And then all of a sudden, they didn't want to give Fat Rob the ball anymore. Now he's not even Fat Rob anymore. He's like Lean Rob.
Fit Rob
is what he is now.
I think they were trying to talk themselves into it because Robert Kelly never.
Not that Robert Kelly.
Which Robert Kelly?
We're not talking about, the
second. Oh, yeah. That, oh, no.
We
not
don't,
him. Oh,
we don't like him. Here.
Oh, see, he was so far out of my... No, not on this show. But he wasn't a starting NFL running back. You could name another team in this league that guy could have started for. Mm-hmm. Him or... what's that? P. Ryan, right? See?
Samaje P. Ryan. Right. I mean, you're lining up these guys, and you're just like... Yeah. And we talked about this last year.
Yeah, and it's so... So funny to me because I listen to other shows, not because I like them, just because they got you got
to
check
There's
out.
Nothing else to listen to when we're not on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's that in commercials, right? People at Wendy's go to McDonald's every once in a while to see the burgers. It's like, but people are actually saying, "Well, yeah, we don't know. We think Adrian Peterson is just here for a practice body, and Fat Rob is going to get the majority of the carries, and P. Ryan is going to be the guy, and Chris Thompson." I just didn't understand it because there is no reason to bring this guy on this team unless you expect him to start for you. And I'm quite happy with that.
Who would think that Adrian Peterson would even sign up just to be a body on a roster before? That's not what he does. He's not Samaje Perine. Right. he's not Rob Kelly.
They could have signed one of us to do that, right?
Yeah, I could have been a body.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have
been better than Perine.
Exactly. It's like, what are you talking about? But one thing that floated through my mind when all this stuff was going on before they drafted before they signed Adrian Peterson was, does anybody want to just make a call to Alfred Morris? Like, does anybody, he's with the 49ers now, but it's like, would anybody just want to reach out and say, hey, 46, come back?
I think they waited too long. I think they were talking about it. I think this team talks a whole lot before they decide to flip the switch. And I think by the time they discussed it, and plus it has to go through too many challenges. You got to go through.
Because by the way, he signed with the 49ers on August 13th.
Yeah.
Plenty of time to bring him back.
Plenty of time, but you got to talk to Doug.
Forget when when Geis and the other guys got hurt, I'm looking at this roster and I'm saying, okay, P. Ron, Geis, I'm just looking at these names like, you know what? 46 is better than all these guys right now.
Yeah.
Why don't we just bring 46 back?
Yeah, but you got to admit, man, you were excited when they picked Geis, and the fact that Geis fell into our laps basically shows you how screwed up the thinking is, the thought process is in the whole league, because from what I understand, Geis had an argument or something, a confrontation with some league official from some team, like a disagreement, and the league official didn't like Geis's attitude, so he just spread the word around that the kid had an attitude problem. And that's, you have seen no indication of anything but a smile on this kid's face. Everybody loves this kid, right? But because this guy put this report out on him, he fell, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and you look through the league, right? Look at the history of the league. Look at people whose stock has fallen on the draft day. I can think of two off the top of my head. Randy Moss Warren Sapp.
Oh, goodness.
And both of them happen to be in the Hall of Fame right now.
You know? No, absolutely.
So people can, like, you can get their feelings hurt and put these false reports out on these kids and watch the stock fall. But like I said, he fell into our laps. And that was one of the reasons I was so excited about this season, right? And it was a shame to see him hurt, but the way he got hurt was an indicator of what kind of player he was. He had just busted one for like 40 yards, right? So the future is still bright. And what people forget is Adrian Peterson suffered a catastrophic knee injury. And it was like a career ender for most people. Mm-hmm. But he came back from it and won the MVP.
Just as good as he was when he left.
So with this kid having injured himself, an AP here, maybe talking through the rehab, saying this is how I overcame it and stuff, I think the future is great at the running back position.
Well, and by the way, I mean, just to make sure Adrian Peterson still had something left in the tank, I mean, he goes into this third preseason game, you know, 11 carries, 56 yards, something like that. He still has got something.
I tweeted last night, I said, anybody who think Adrian Peterson doesn't have anything left in the tank is a bad judge of tanks.
You don't know your tanks.
That's right.
You don't know your tanks, son. So I want to switch over to this wide receiver position. You know, not a lot of changes, but not a big splash or adding anybody. I mean, you let go of Terrell Pryor. When you look at this receiver position, Kevin, what are you thinking?
Well, they added Paul Richardson from Seattle, who is supposed to be the speed guy. To they never have recovered from the loss of
Deshaun Jackson.
But, you know, that's something, that's a rare commodity. Everybody doesn't have one of those, right? Mm-hmm. But you do need somebody to stretch the field. They are hoping that Dotson emerges this year. I kind of think that it depends on the plays you call for.
Did you hold your breath when he got hurt in training camp? It might have been, they thought it could have been a collarbone thing.
Should have been wrapped in bubble wrap. That's, you know, they're playing scared in a lot of positions, though. I think that, Crowder, he might play, might not play. He's hurt, he's not hurt. I mean, either he's hurt or he's not, right? They have guys like Mo Harris who are given the chance, might produce for him, right? But, you know, you just can't. I'm thinking that the kid Sims from Alabama has been making.
Seems like he can play. He's been making some plays. Now, can he do that on a first team situation? I mean, you never know unless you give him a try.
You got to give him the ball, right?
And I think he might be one of those guys who, for the most part, is just a gamer. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to do anything that's going to surprise you in practice. He's not, the most attentive maybe. But once he's in a game, he's just physically, he's a matchup problem.
Really,
he's fast, he's tall, and he's big, and he can catch, and he played at Alabama. What's the problem here? Put him in the game.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe somebody owed somebody some money or something. That's why he didn't get drafted or something. But he's definitely worth a look. And you look at, I mean, just the talent of athletes like that, if they don't start, that bolsters your special teams, right? Because you got guys that need some help in the return and the coverage teams too, right? So I'm very optimistic about the receiver position.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that sounds good. So coming up, we're going to have fake news or not. I've got three questions. You guys know the drill. Three questions, and Kevin will let me know whether, well, not even three questions, three statements, and Kevin will let me know whether that's fake news or whether it's not. That's coming up next on the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. You know the station, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsradio.com. New season, same show, same two hosts, but new segment. We've got an NFC East roundtable coming up. You know, it just wasn't fair to have Rodney on the show all the time representing the Giants. And so we, you know, you talk about death threats and hate mail. We got some from other people, other fans of the Cowboys and the Eagles, so we decided to try to bring some other folks in and do it.
Let's clarify. We didn't get these threats because they don't love us.
Right.
We got threats because people were mad because we weren't on the air every week.
Yeah,
right?
No, they love us. They hate Rodney.
Yeah. And so
they want to make sure that they got equal say.
They love to hate him, though. They love to hate
exactly.
him.
Exactly.
Right?
And also, another new segment, and we'll bring that up in the third and final segment of this show. I'm coaching Little League flag football this year. My son, he turned 6 in October, so he's on the flag football team. I'm coaching some 5-year-olds. So what I'm going to do is
Coach Cleats.
I'm going to break down a play or two from a Redskins game that was a crucial play, but what I would have done as a flag football coach of 6-year-olds.
That's
and
right. That's right.
So I'm going to make that correlation.
Because you know.
Exactly.
Yeah,
this is what Gruden should have done.
Yeah, that's right.
And so what I would do with my kids.
Yeah,
but first,
you should call them in advance.
First, we've got to do this segment. It's the segment that America just loves, and some would even say love to hate. But you know what that means. It means it's time for fake news. Or not.
Now, truth be told, we had some technical difficulties, so we had to move into from our Glass and Clove Nerve Center, and you know, that's why I had all the drops and stuff, right? So we're going to have to insert fake news here. Or I might add it to the end.
Exactly. You know? Well, isn't fake news always inserted in somehow?
Yeah, that's right.
It's always weird.
Yeah,
so anyway,
really weird. Right.
Fake news or not, you know the segment, guys. I say three statements. Kevin lets me know whether it's fake news or whether it's not. Statement number one, Kevin, is this is a do or die year. For Coach Gruden, fake news or not?
No, that's news, baby. that's true news. We cannot come out this year with another 8-8, 9-7. Oh God,
we can't do another
7-9. We cannot do this. I mean, you know, we cried. We played the injury blues last year, mm-hmm. right? You know, and mm-hmm. he can say he got a new quarterback, but this, you know, his quarterback is the one that left him, the one he handpicked, right? You know,
right.
So no, this is it. This is do or die, right? I'm sure he's got, you know, friends. He got a brother in Oakland that. Maybe he can get a job, you know, maybe driving the car or something. But this is it. And you know what? This is coming from a dude who's excited about the season. This is it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, there you go. Do or die for Coach Gruden. That's news. Fake news or not, statement number two. Jonathan Allen and De'Ron Payne will be a force to be reckoned with. Fake news or not?
That's news, baby. And League, Rodney, you tell your boys that you call them right now. And tell, you know, you can call them. If Rodney doesn't call and personally introduce them to Eli, don't worry about it because they will introduce themselves to Eli very, very soon. Rodney, I know you're listening, so look up and see when the first game is between Burgundy and Golden and the Giants, right? Because that's going to be quite a meeting. Yes, I'm excited about these two young men. I wish they forget this 3-4 thing and let them be pure defensive tackles. And
that's I just don't see this whole 3-4 thing working. And I don't understand why teams, especially teams in the NFC and definitely in the NFC East, would even experiment or try with the 3-4. Like, it just doesn't work for this division. It doesn't work for this conference.
Yeah, it's a failed experiment. I know Mr. Payne and Mr. Allen. As a matter of fact, I'll let you know a little behind the curtain, you know, Wizard of Oz type stuff. Back when Clubber Lang was about to fight Rocky for the rematch and they asked him for a prediction. Is it prediction? Pain. We're going to be hearing a lot of that this season. Pain. All right.
Well, there you go. Can you tell that Kevin, like, this might be the first season? No, I think 2013 you were really excited.
Well, I was excited
to figure out because this might be the first season you walked in optimistic and excited.
Yeah, I was down a little bit after the Geis injury, but when I saw AP and just looking at the shape he's in and looking like. And then when I looked at, like, they showed that one view from the end zone when he was coming at the safety, and the safety was, like, wasn't moving like he was trying to be in a hurry to tackle Adrian Peterson, right? So, yeah, very excited. Very excited.
All right, fake news statement number three. For the Redskins offense, at least, 35 will be the new 25. So check this out. Alex Smith drafted in 2005. Adrian Peterson drafted, I believe that's 2007. Trent Williams drafted in 2000. 35 is going to be the new. Matter of fact, Adrian Peterson and Trent Williams spent a year together in Oklahoma.
They sure did.
Together. Will 35 be the new 25? Will these old guys look like young guys?
No, I think that's the fake news. I mean, that's going to be the icing on the cake. But the cake is going to be the depth of the youth and the depth of this team, man. It's kind of embarrassing. Like, you know how the game starts and they'll show like a close-up of the guys smiling, man? It looked like my high school pictures, man. I was like, who are these young boys we got playing here? Now, it's a matter of just youth and energy, man, hoping that the coaching staff doesn't do anything to deter what they have naturally. But I think youth is the key to this team. I mean, it's going to be some like a couple of old guys playing young, but the key this season is youth. Youth,
there you go.
Fresh, young blood.
Oh, absolutely. So we'll talk about the defense in the third and final segment. Also, we'll give you the rundown on the flag football team I'm going to be coaching.
Wait.
Oh, there it is. Yes, it is.
Or not.
Well, there you go.
Better late than never.
Well, I mean, it's still preseason. You know, I mean, we're just still working out some of those kinks. So that was fake news and that. It is a do-or-die year for Coach Gruden. Jonathan Allen, De'Ron Payne will be a force to be reckoned with. And no, the 35-year-olds will look like 35-year-olds. But the youth is going to carry the team.
That's right.
So now
it's
time for a new segment that we have on the show. Really excited about this. It's called the NFC East Roundtable on Federal Football Report. And you guys know Rodney Henderson, Giants fan. Rodney's going to be back for another year. We've got Jason Jennings, yes, related to the host of the show, myself, Claude Jennings. He's my brother. He'll be representing the Dallas Cowboys, and we've got some guy on the street that we got for Philadelphia. He's not here today because, let's be honest, we don't want him here every week because no one likes Philadelphia Eagle fans. So we're fine with him not being. No. He's doing other things, but he'll be here next week. So we'll do that.
Right.
Rodney, how are you?
Fine. How y'all doing?
Rodney, it's good to have you. And Jason, how are you, man?
I'm good.
Good. Right, so we've got an NFC East roundtable here. And I guess what we'll do, we'll start with Rodney because he's familiar with the program. We've had him on last year. Rodney, these Giants. Okay, Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham Jr. is back. What are we looking like this year?
We're excited up north in New York. We're really excited. But the first thing we got to do is pay the man. Pay Odell
back. There it is.
He kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, he didn't come into the league like with a lot of fanfare. I mean, people knew he was a decent athlete. But I think it was that Sunday night game and the catch. I think, and he's lived up to it, right? I mean, he had, without a doubt, I can't think of one person who did not say, that was the best catch I ever saw, right?
But it definitely was the best catch I ever saw. And it's interesting, Rodney, because I think if you look at, like, just numbers-wise and project Odell Beckham Jr., he's kind of on pace where he could be one of the best receivers to play the game. That's not far-fetched to think that he could be.
Right. He's one of the best weapons in the NFL game and kind of remind me of a more explosive Jerry Rice. You remember how 49ers used to hit Jerry Rice on a slant?
Right. Yeah.
That's his really go-to play is a slant, and he'd take it not for 5 yards but for 50 yards into the house.
Right.
So that's what we're super excited about, Saquon Barkley, but not only that, Eli Manning looked really rejuvenized yesterday.
Well, he's 38 years old. Well, he's 37 years old.
And we thought he was on the way out last year. I mean, he was just
– right.
But like he was just like buying his time, right?
I know. Well, he might say, "Look, y'all want me to come back? Y'all have to hire all the offensive linemen, armor guard, bodyguards, everybody, just to protect me, give me some time, and we'd be good to go." So hopefully, you know, the Giants they draft, they you know address it. Gettleman, new regime that came in, addressed the offensive line, and that's what we did. We solidified the left side, but I don't question mark with Flowers again because we're going to switch him from left to right. So now we have Nate Solder from New England and a rookie, Will Hernandez, who's a mauler on the running game. So Payne, we're talking about Payne and Allen. It better be ready.
Well, let me ask you this, man. How much input do you think Eli had with the choice of Barkley being the number one pick?
None. Zero. Because they didn't know if they were going to bring Eli back for sure, but we probably had a little bit of influence in it because, you know, the Manning name is a football family, so he had a lot of input in the decision-making. You know, Gettleman seemed like he was going to be a good GM, kind of hard-nosed guy, old-school guy. Mm-hmm. But that's what I just, you know, the first thing we need to do is, I'm going to say it again, pay the man.
Go ahead and write that check. And so what we'll do is let's check in now with Jason, who is our Dallas Cowboy seat at the round table. And then we'll have the teams can ask the other teams questions about their team. And we'll see where that goes from there. So, Jason, Dallas Cowboys, disappointing season last year after a 13-3 season 2 years ago. No Jason Witten, no Dez Bryant. Will it be an issue for Dak? What are we looking at with Zeke? Some issues on the offensive line now. What you got from the Cowboys?
I definitely have a lot from the Cowboys. Before I get there, I want to ask my Giants fan, how excited are you about Hernandez? You have the quarterback, you have the running back, but as far as the best move you made as far as this offseason, what are you looking forward to during this season?
I'm super excited with Will for Hernandez. It looks like he wanted to take everybody lunch. He's doing training camp, and he was just starting fights with Snacks Harris, and he, you know, he's just a good offensive line. He just got a he's instead of being stronger than everybody on college level, it's the NFL level now, so he has to tune up on his technique. But I'm super excited about Will Hernandez and Nick Soldier as a fit in, to get Eli blindside, and of course we have to block DeMarcus what's his Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know his last name.
Well, and we got Gregory back.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm kind of curious here. I think that the Cowboy, a Cowboy insider, knew that it wasn't much happening in Dallas. That's why he wanted to run back to New York real quick, right?
Yeah.
So I have to definitely admit, I'm kind of jealous, right? Because we picked Connor Williams in the second round.
Okay.
And Hernandez was my guy.
Right.
Even if we have to trade up to get him, that's my guy. But what do you give up to get to move up to actually pick him, right?
Yeah.
And so the third round, we got a wide receiver, right? Michael Gallup.
Everyone's high on him in Dallas.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they need
him. How do you feel about him? Because they need him with, you know, uncertainty at the wide receiver position.
Well, I think, unlike Dez, and I love Dez, that's my guy, but he can get separation. And he knows how to play the whole hand game, which Dez don't know how to play. And the whole thing that, especially with a young quarterback, you need wide receivers that can get separation. And we didn't have that.
You know, one thing I think that was underestimated about Dak's first year, we were talking about how great he was. I think his first 4 or 5 years, he might have been without Dez, right? I mean, the first 4 or 5 games, because Dez was hurt, if I'm not mistaken, early in that 2 years ago.
Right, he was.
And so he worked up a chemistry with Cole Beasley and other guys.
Oh,
and when Dez came back, he seemed to kind of rock the boat a little bit, demanding the ball. And it seemed like that might have threw Dak off.
So, okay, maybe it threw our quarterback off. But my whole thing is that you have the guy in New England. He won more Super Bowls, so I don't want to really call his name. And yeah, the guy in Green Bay, I don't want to call his name off because I would love to have him on our team. But they make other guys better because they don't have the pressure of going to one particular person, right? So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, if I'm in New England, and listen, you can't separate, you can't go down the field, I don't need you.
Yeah. Well, you got to look at it this way. I mean, Jason Witten was probably could have or should have retired 2 years ago. And Dak came in and not only rejuvenated this dude, but probably catapulted him into the Hall of Fame. I think Witten's a lock for the Hall of Fame, fame now. And got a nice gig on TV.
If I'm
Jason Witten, I'm cutting Dak a check. You know, I'm breaking him off a little something, something. I'm making him a payroll deduction right now, right?
So before we open up the floor, the questions from our Giants correspondent, that's kind of the same question that you asked the Giants correspondent. I want to ask to our Dallas Cowboys, what's got you excited headed into this season?
Actually, I'm kind of sad right now.
What are you sad about?
I'm really sad because we have Frederick, who we don't know who's going to come back.
The center, right?
So he may come back. Well, they say in Carolina, but that's a 6 month to a whole year injury, I think. Mm-hmm. And then you have Lyle Collins, right? Ankle injuries. Zach Martin had a little bruise up here and there. And, okay, so I'm being real, real, real selfish because you hope to have one stud on your line. And everyone else is just okay. And we've been fortunate to have, what, three all-pros.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't know how to function with three all-pros. Because right. At the end of the day, how come we couldn't, whether Zeke was in there last year or not, how come we couldn't run the ball down their throats?
It might be coaching. So is there any reason to be optimistic down there
Before we go there, just to clarify, Frederick is not an injury. Doesn't he have like a blood disorder?
Yeah, he's got some kind of immune deficiency.
Immune deficiency.
Right. And I heard Mark Schlereth, who won a Super Bowl here at Washington and won another one in Denver, right. A lineman, said that he had the same thing at one time. And it took him... What it does the most is it takes your strength.
Right.
And
right.
So it took him a good, pretty much a year before he was fully recovered, but it was like months, like three, it'll be like 3, 4, 5 months before he gets his strength back. You know?
This is like, bigger than a football thing. I mean, this is his life here that they're worried about. So is there anything to be optimistic about?
But once again, if you listen to Jerry Jones, who wants to be Tex Ram, I know you know Tex Ram.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, right?
Right, right.
If you're not talking about me, you're not talking about nothing. Right? That's how he makes his whole thing. So, but I mean... Personally, as a Cowboys fan, die hard, I don't expect him back this year. And I wouldn't put him in the lineup because he has kids and a wife.
Yeah, it's a bigger than a life thing. You don't rush
it
back.
Way big. Don't rush that
I'm
back.
Not getting much optimism from the Dallas
team. Well, as long as he's getting the best medical care, and the NFL, when they want to provide it, has the best medical care in the world, I don't feel bad for the rest of the Cowboys. Right. Best for him. I don't care nothing about the rest of them,
absolutely.
Right? Although we did mention, it's funny that we have Zeke. We mentioned Zeke as kind of like an afterthought, right?
Right.
With the legal ramifications last year, right? With Zeke going through that suspension, they only missed the playoffs by one game, mm-hmm. right? You know, so the NFC East is looking better than it has looked in the past, I'd say 10 years.
I remember that year where, was it the Redskins that won the division? They were 8-8 or maybe 7-9 or something ridiculous like that. That's not the case anymore.
No, in the NFC East.
Yeah. We've got some real ballers here. Yeah.
But if you do want me to sound optimistic, I will say the Cowboys always have a bad season and come back and have a great season.
So that's
the best I can do right now.
So Rodney, one thing we want to know about these Giants coming in, are you starting to look ahead to say, okay, who's going to be the future, or is it a more of a at quarterback, or is it now like a future is now with Eli and the team that they have now, or is it time to start looking for somebody else?
You always want to draft a quarterback in the draft for the future. I mean, that's the key, because you never know where you're going to, have a good quarterback now, and then in the future you can either trade for a quarterback, or just find a good player. You want to draft a quarterback every year, because you're always trying to improve your team. That's what the goals of the G-man every year. But David Webb has shown that he's not a fluke and he could play this year. So Eli probably has 3 to 2 more years left, and David Webb was going to back him up. And I feel confident that he could step up and take the reins from the torch from Eli once he's retired.
Rodney, here's what I want to know. Now, Josh Norman has had a way of picking situations with receivers, because the battle with him and Dez was legendary. But they found a way of capitalizing, because they did the phone commercials together where they were doing the press conferences saying, "Did you say that about that? About Dez? Did you say that about Josh?" Now, do you think that Beckham and
with
Josh
Dez out the picture, apparently.
Do you think that they got enough going for them, or they realized that, hey, we can do this, we could both make millions and then make more millions on top of it, right? Or do you think that this is going to be too emotional for them to think along those lines?
I can see a head and shoulder commercial.
Right, because Odell's got the hair. Right.
So if they listening, hey, y'all got from the Federal Sports Report last time, so maybe you can get it again.
That's right, because it was right here on this show. We came up with the idea of these guys, of Josh Norman and Dez Bryant getting together. We
talked about that.
We still waiting for checks for that one, too.
Yeah, I mean, we're on record. I mean, we said that before those commercials came out.
That's right.
The commercials came out.
That's right, absolutely.
Rodney, do you have any questions for our Cowboys correspondent?
I think he was just a little sad because he don't know who's gonna block Snack Harrison, B.J. Hill or whatever,
And DeRon Payne and Jonathan Allen, forgot those guys too. Yeah, yeah.
Right, but I really think the NFC East is gonna repeat itself in history wise. I think that's just the strongest the division is gonna be, You know, we have Alex Smith we had to worry about for the Redskins, and now AP. Even though I saw a little something, you know, he needed to switch the ball. I know, what is it, 14 years at?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Come on, AP. Well, 14 years, and you still...
You know you got to switch that ball to the outside arm. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. You can use it. You know, he got a strong hand grip. You know, they say you shake your hand, he crushes your hand. So I don't understand why you can't switch the ball. But anyway, I could see even somebody running up to him, making him fumble. You know, making them a fumble or maybe get a flag because the new helmet rule too. So you can't tackle nobody. You can't put the helmet the ball no more now. So I don't know what to say. So I'm really optimistic about the division. It's going to be really competitive. It's not going to be like, oh, week four. It's, the season is over with. Not this year. So I'm excited about the Giants rookie B.J. Hill. We traded for Alex Overtree for to pit depth back in our linebacker core. We got a young slot receiver and Cattons or whatever. And we're just really super excited about the Giants this year. And I really think we're going to do well. I really think I'm not going to predict the record until the end, but I think we're going to have a good chance to contend.
Well, no more locker room drama. There was a couple of things. You know when you have a losing season, right, all kinds of things come up. They had some drama with, I forget the gentleman's name, cornerback.
Apple and Landon Collins.
So
I think they patched it up. I think Eli Apple was going through some personal issues with his mother and his family, and it kind of, I guess he didn't know how to cope with it, with that and being a professional. Because I heard during the draft, he didn't even know how to cook for himself. So he already knew Roman noodles and microwave food. So,
right. He has a whole tough kind of thing going on with him. Who was the guy in the offseason who had someone dead in his house?
Jackrabbit, Janoris Jenkins. His brother, I believe, is getting charged for it.
Man.
And
this is a different world, isn't it?
right. And I'm sorry for the family, you know, the loss is life or whatever. And also another thing, Gettleman is dealing with cancer. So it's always gonna be something, but you gotta keep, that's why we could take it away. We love football, so we could take it away from entertainment,
Right. Because it's all about entertainment, especially on our part, because we don't have to hit nobody.
Or get hit, more importantly.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this to my Giants fan. So I hope that your $200 million defense, right, plays the exact same way it played last year. I'm sad, but you kind of threw a punch at me right there. So I have to kind of punch back, right? Like Cowboys, Giants, like I have to punch
back. That's what we do.
So right. I hope your $200 million defense like actually plays the same way last year, right? And your quarterback plays the same way. But at the end of the day, I still got love for you.
I hear you, but I think just like we were talking about the 3-4, we switch it from 4-3 to the 3-4, and it's more of a blitz complex. So I'm kind of skeptical about that, but we'll see. But did y'all hear the news about the rumor now that John's been a runner for Khalil Mack? But
He's not going nowhere. That's Gruden's kind of play. Gruden's not going to let him go nowhere.
Wow, you breaking news? I think our Cowboys fan had one more thing to say.
One more thing. So let me ask you a question though. Do you want to see a more heavy run offense or like happy go lucky pass the ball everywhere? Like what do you want to see?
I know what Beckham wants.
Odell Beckham going with the ball. So he's going to open up more lanes and more slant routes and more go routes or nine routes, whatever, for Odell with the running game. So you draft Saquon Barkley with the second pick and you address the offensive line, we're going to run the smash mouth football first. This is like old school NFC East football. So, the Redskins say we got to beef up the line. Dallas Cowboys say we got to get another linebacker, and the rookie from Boise State, I'm losing his name, the linebacker. So everybody's addressing to stop the run.
About Leighton Vander Esch?
Vanderjack, whatever his name. Anyway, he looks like he's going to be
big
good.
Name dude.
Everybody's addressing the defensive line to try to stop the run. So the Giants are going to run the ball, and Pat Shurmur, coming from Minnesota, they ran the ball first. A lot of play action rollouts. and stuff like that. So a lot of different formations with double tight ends and stuff like that. So we're going to run the ball, so you got to beware.
Yeah, well, look, I know that the Cowboy expert doesn't think much of Burgundy and Gold because he didn't ask anything about it. Right?
No,
it was all right. But this is cool. It's cool because we're like 5 minutes over in the segment, right?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah,
this is like leaps and bounds. This is a great segment. But I don't know how we're going to how we're going to duplicate this.
Well, no matter what, with all the, you know, a little bit of back and forth between the Cowboys fan and the Giants fan, which is good, and the Cowboys fan totally ignored the Redskins, which is what you expect. That's fine. But can we all agree on one thing? We're just glad the Eagles guy's not here.
Who cares
about that guy, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, we got to give them their due. They are the champs.
Yeah, right? we definitely do. Well, again,
yeah,
thank you.
They are the champs.
They're the champs for now. But they're coming up off that title. So thanks a lot, Roddy. Thanks a lot, Jason, for the NFC East Roundtable. This segment's going to be a hit this year. I can tell already. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back after these commercial messages on the Federal Football Report, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, federalnewsradio.com. So this NFC East Roundtable is going to be a great addition to the Federal Football Report. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the website federalnewsradio.com.
Awesome.
So Kevin very astutely brought out the fact that the Cowboys fan didn't even address anything.
We don't even matter, right? Are we on the schedule this year?
I mean, the show is Federal Football Report. We'll be talking Burgundy and Gold. Yeah. So our Cowboys insider, Jason Jennings, does have a question. Or something you want to say about the Redskins.
All
so
right,
we'll give him the third segment at it.
Take your time.
Okay, so I do apologize. Okay, I do apologize.
No disrespect meant, right?
Well, right, because I'm a guest in you guys' house. So I do apologize. I do apologize. But, so my question is this. So Alex Smith has definitely been known to make the playoffs.
Right.
Right? I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, the best quarterback, but he definitely can make the playoffs. What else do you need to do as far as on your team to help him get to the playoffs and at least get a win in the playoffs? And my second question is, your coach, right?
Yeah.
If you fire your coach, so everyone wants to always fire the coach. Fire the coach. Basketball, football, soccer, fire the coach. But who is going to replace him? So it's almost the same question like fire the quarterback, but who are you going to get to replace that?
Okay, very interesting question. First of all, Alex Smith has to make the playoffs because two things. Number one, the coach has to make the playoffs or he's out of here, right?
Yeah.
And you got a guy here who's on the tail end of his career. And I don't think that he's here as a money grab. He didn't get that much money. I just think that he thinks that there's a possibility here. And no one, you can't tell me anybody outside of the state of Pennsylvania who thought the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl last year. Everybody truly has a shot. And we're going to talk about the defense here in a second.
Yes.
But Alex Smith needs to be in a ball control offense. Mm-hmm. They need to shorten the field. The defense needs to create turnovers, and the special teams need to put them in a position where he can just manage the game. Alex Smith had some all pro talent around him last year, the running back position, the tight end position, the wide receiver position, and the defense. It's just that at the end of the day, when the playoffs came, they just couldn't get it all together for some reason, right? They went into New England and kill the Giant, right? When we thought that those guys were invincible, right? You know, so sometimes it just doesn't all work for Andy Reid led team. But this is a different circumstance. I believe that the team was on the verge of changing philosophy when they drafted Geis and saw what a good running game can do. I think that they still are there. And I think we ought to give some credit to the guys in the front office like Doug Williams and whoever else is making these choices where they realized that they didn't need just another running back. They needed Adrian Peterson. So I think the team is making the moves to complement Alex Smith. They're surrounding him with what they need. But we're going to jump into the defense right now because that's what, this is preseason. But they didn't seem to look too good against the Broncos the other night. But
you know, what's interesting, too, when you talk about Alex Smith and making the playoffs, like, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with the team and with the coaching, with the system. I mean, in 2011, he went to the playoffs. He had a great year with San Francisco. They were 13-3. But And that actually might have been, he might not even have been starting. That might have been Kaepernick, but
he started, Kaepernick started at the end of the season, but he started
the beginning of that. And so that all those 13, that all 13 wins aren't necessarily his.
No,
and the playoff push wasn't his either. It was Kaepernick's. But then, I mean, you go to Kansas City where he's teamed up with, gosh, I can make fun of him and call him the Walrus, because he looks like a Walrus. Gosh, Andy Reid, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he looks like, and he looks like the Green Bay's head coach. And
yeah,
they both look like Walruses.
Yeah, really.
So anyway, but that's when he's, you know, playoff Alex, 11-4, 8-7, and I think they missed it there, 11-5, 11-4. But that's such a great point that you know, you tied the two together, that I think, you know, if Alex Smith does not make the playoffs, it shows that, you know, Gruden's at least not as good as Andy Reid. At coaching, you know what I mean? Because Andy Reid can at least get an Alex Smith-led team, you know, to the playoffs. But defense. We talked about it earlier in fake news and not this defensive line. I think the big story right now is Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen, paired together. It looks like it's going to be, you know, a match made in heaven. Maybe we can bring back capital punishment for the defense,
I
right?
think we can. I think I don't like the way they're using these guys in preseason because they got to get in football shape. They got to forget this about, you know, running a couple of plays and running to the sideline against the water. These guys, if they're your best players, they got to be there. They got to be there. And I think the team overall is suffering from the way they ran the preseason, because the first games under Gruden have historically been sloppy. And it's going to take some time. It's going to take some coordination. They took a chance. They brought in Orlando Scandrick, but decided they wanted to go with the youth. And it's something else I hate about this team. I don't hate. Hate is too strong a word.
Well, you were so optimistic most of the show. Let's keep that going. I hate with love.
That's how I feel. Hate with love. They channel their emotions in strange areas, like the whole thing with Terrell Pryor about they weren't allowed to hit Terrell Pryor, but when they practice the Jets, we're going to hit them, you know, and this and that. That's gone, man. That's so juvenile. Why are they doing that, right? You know, and, you know, they don't.
You
need
want to be better than that, right?
That's right. And then like you know, the with Scandrick, they didn't like Scandrick because Scandrick wanted to be a leader, and he just got here and this and that. You know, no, forget all that, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
they got to play, and these guys were getting burned because they were not channeling all their thoughts, I think, towards football. And I think they had some depth in the secondary. They got some depth in linebacker, but there's some guys starting, like Zach Vigil. He made some tackles last year, but he wouldn't be starting any other NFL team.
Right.
So I like what they have. I think they need to put. They need to have Ryan Kerrigan. Did he play this preseason?
Yeah, I haven't heard his name at all.
Yeah. So they need to go ahead and put a Preston Smith and Ryan Kerrigan. They need to put their hands in the dirt, put them in defensive ends, let Payne and Allen be defensive tackles, put Zach Brown at the middle.
You want to go ahead and just do this whole 4-3 thing.
Do it for real, right? Make teams
adjust. No more
adjust.
3-4, 4-3.
Yeah, you know, this whole 4-3-3 design so the men up front occupy the linemen so the linebackers can make tackles. But if the linebackers don't make the tackles, dudes just run for 23 yards.
Right, which we've seen happen over and over again.
Yeah.
So I think you make a great point, right? So your defensive line, give me two people on your defensive line that you love.
Oh, well, the young boys.
Jonathan Allen, DeBron Payne.
Right, so that's two. More than most teams.
Right.
And then give me a linebacker.
A linebacker? You got Zach Brown. You got
That you love.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Zach Brown led the team in tackles.
And then you got Josh Norman, right? And so you build your defense right from the middle. Defense, linebacker, and then safety / corner that could shut down. If the corner can shut down a half the field, you're doing something different, right?
Yeah, well, we're looking at Payne and Allen being able to disrupt the linebackers because you got the Predator, what's it? At safety.
DJ Swearingen.
Yeah, Swearingen. Who's talking all the trash.
Well, here's the thing, you know, and this may be slightly off topic. Was I the only one who kind of noticed Josh Norman was getting beat a lot in the Denver preseason game? Like, I mean, Case Keenum was not afraid to go at him, and he went at him like on 3 or 4 different occasions and got completions.
Well, you remember last year, Case Keenum threw for like 500 yards against Burgundy and goal last
year. He loved Josh Norman.
Yeah,
he sees Josh Norman on the other side of the field. He's like, yes, Josh Norman.
He's dancing with these stars.
But if I'm Josh Norman, I feel like that's what I want.
Because
that's how I earn my money, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
come at me.
And I'm going to get one of those.
I'm going to get one of them.
Because he only got people in throw him last year. He only had like one pick last year. And, you know, so,
And that's kind of boring, right?
Yeah. So I'm thinking, but, you know, bottom line, I'm thinking Greg Minuski, he's an old-time Burgundy and Gold guy. He knows his, you know, he knows that it's Redskins football, as Joe Gibbs used to say. It's going to be in the rain. It's going to be cold. Guys going to get dirty. We don't play in nobody's dome, right? You know, we play in the NFC East, right? So he's got to, if you're going to come into the NFC East, you're going to have to feel the pain. Andy Allen. Right?
And there you go. Yeah. Man, this show is going by so fast. I think we're even out of our time. Good night. So we're trying to jump back in next week. Look, we've got a whole season to do this.
Oh, yes.
And
depending
on, you know, how the team does, we'll go into the postseason. We'll do postseason shows anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Whether or not the team
not?
Makes the playoffs.
That's right. That's
depending
right.
on how bad the season is. We may just give it up in week 13. But given what we think, I think it's going to be a very interesting year for the team. I think it's going to be a very interesting year in the NFC East in general. And I'm really looking forward to a great season. And, by the way, we talked about this a lot last year. So I want to mention this real quick before we end. You know, if players want to kneel during the anthem, kneel. They want to raise their fist up, raise your fist up. Just stop talking about the flag. Talk about what it's about.
That's right.
They ask you why you kneel during the anthem, say what anthem. And start naming names of black folks who have been mistreated, to say the least, killed by officers in their unarmed. So anyway, that's Federal Football Report. First show of the season. It's going to be a great season, guys. Thank you so much for listening.